Look, I'm lost up here. It's only because I am. Amen. Actually, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 13 and start at verse 44. We're going to read 44 through 46. We're going to read from the parables of our Lord. Good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? Amen. Didn't it seem a lot darker tonight than it was supposed to be? Guess what? Our clocks are going to be changed real soon. In the whatever light we get at night will be reflected off that white stuff on the surface of the ground. Boo, I'm with you. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we trust in you, O God. We know, Lord, that you are real, that you are here, that you are powerful, that you know all of our hearts and minds. We pray, God, that you would take this word, Lord, and use me, your servant, O God, to minister your word and touch every heart, every mind. Have your way in us, O God. Talk to us through your presence, through your power, through your word. Anoint me as your servant, Lord, to handle your word according to your purpose. And we give you the glory and the honor in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm always a little nervous, shall I say, about handling a passage of Scripture that is so well known. You can talk about some of these parables, parable of the pearl of great price, people who have never even read the Bible are familiar with some of these stories, some of these passages. And of course, people who have been reading the Bible for a long time, everybody's got an opinion about how the parable can be applied and how much meaning you can attach to it. And if you read different things, you'll find out that some go down to the little details and others warn against that. So I'm going to just do my best to handle the Word of God with kid gloves, if you will, and let God minister to us. Hopefully we'll all learn something from the Word of God tonight. Amen. Amen. These parables, there are seven in this group that we read here. Parables of the kingdom. Everyone said kingdom of heaven. Amen. I want to talk about this treasure. Quite frequently when I read this, I attach my own words to it. The scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And automatically I think of truth. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that found a treasure hid in a field. It's talking about the kingdom. The truth of God's word, the truth of who Jesus is part of that. It's included in it. But it is talking about a whole life, a lifestyle, an eternity, the kingdom of heaven. Once you have found your way into the kingdom, you have found a great treasure. Amen. Interesting thing to note, and I never noticed this before, these seven parables, that the first four of these parables, look at verse 34 through 36 of Matthew 13. It says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He was speaking to the multitudes. Verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So from this point forward, Jesus begins to explain the parable of the tares. And in continuing with his explanation, he speaks these other two parables that we have read here tonight. But evidently, these two parables he gave to just those disciples that were with him, not to the multitude. He's speaking now more specifically. He's speaking to those that are ready to hear the truth, that are ready to receive the explanation. Look at, I don't have it in my notes. In Luke, Jesus said, "It is given unto you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." He's revealing something to these men that are closest to him that he did not share with the multitudes. I think that's significant for us here this evening. The majority of us here are at least familiar with the Word of God, and most of us have read much of it. And I believe that the message here applies specifically to those who have tasted, the Bible says, of the Lord and see that He is good. Luke 8 and 10 tells us that these lessons are for those who have been given to know the kingdom. Amen. And oftentimes when people break down these parables, when they want to look at them and talk about them, they'll pair them up because of similar interpretation of the parables. And these two seem to go together very well, each of them concerning a treasure that has been found. Let's look at Proverbs 23:23. Familiar passage. "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." This principle is a principle that applies to everyone who would come to know the Word of God, know the truth of God, know this way. You have to buy the truth and sell it not. We have to make a choice. Not just the day that we make our way to the altar, but every day we must once again determine whether or not we're going to continue to invest in the kingdom, to buy this truth. We had a discussion in the pastor's meeting yesterday about how quickly and how easily those who have changed direction, have turned away from the truth, how quickly delusion sets in and confusion. We have to remain committed to the truth. You have to sell out. Look at John 8:32. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. Praise God. The parable of the field. It was not unusual. Evidently, historically, culturally, for the people of the Middle East to hide their treasures in the field. It's not, maybe many of you remember Sister Bryant, who used to be the church secretary here for years, secretary treasurer. She was Pastor Grant would frequently make reference to all those cans of money that she had buried in her backyard with all the church funds in them. And he would talk about how important it was that she hide them well. And Sister Bryant was a very kind of a shy person, and she'd turn all red. That's Sister Caskey's mother, and it was a precious thing. But in fact, in the Middle East, it was not an uncommon thing. And part of the explanation is that there were so often wars, so often. Different powers would come through that area and fight battles. And the people that lived there were often caught in the midst of it. And as a result, they were forced to take their valuables and hide them in the field. William Barclay wrote about a story of several men in the 1800s that were actually just digging a garden in Sidon. And they came upon some copper pots that were full of gold, and they found so many of them that they became wealthy men, but they wanted to keep it a secret. But as soon as they started showing up places with these precious coins, it became well known that they had found a treasure. And they had to deal with the masses then immediately, almost within days of the their fine. They could not keep it a secret. Praise God. I found a treasure here in the Word of God. I found a treasure here in my life, and there ought to be something about the effect it has in my lifestyle that is hard to hide from the world around me. Amen. There's a treasure here in the kingdom of heaven, and it ought to be clear to those in the world around you that, in fact, you found something worthwhile, something valuable. Amen. They could not keep it a secret. But the interesting thing is, in this depiction of the field, evidently this man came upon this field, upon this treasure in the field, all in a day's work. It was not unusual for, as it is even today, for a farmer or for someone to lease a field and to work a field in order to bring up a crop. And so it wouldn't be unusual for a man to find a treasure in someone else's field, not his property, because he was for some reason or another leasing it or using it. So it was all in a day's work. He was going through his daily procedure and found this treasure. And again, he sold all that he had. I know some people who have lost everything they had. I've come close to it myself once or twice. And it's an easy thing to read about and an easy thing to talk about, but when you encounter it, it's a crushing thing. We like to think we're not so materialistic that things would mean that much to us, but just let your car break down and be without for a week or two. Think of all the people who are dealing with foreclosure at this very moment in our country. What a impact it's having on our culture and on our society. To lose everything you've had, but to decide to give up everything that you have. Just picture in your mind. Just go walk through your home, whether you rent or you own. Just start at the driveway and, well, look in the trunk of your car and see what you have in there. Some of you have a lot in there. But consider your car, then walk in your mind's eye, go through your garage and start looking around and think of all the stuff that you have hanging from the ceiling or stuffed up on the racks or... Maybe you haven't even used that grill for a long time, but you still have it. All the things. Then you go into the house, and most of the furniture in our house came from someone else that we know. Right now we have two dining room tables, both of which came from a different set of in-laws. And we have all these chairs, and they're nice things. We have a hutch full of plates that I got from my mother, and all of these things, furniture that Brother Grant gave to us, and downstairs a couch that came from my in-laws. And I can go right through the house and name all of these things that actually many of them are given to me, but to me it would be costly to give them up. Not to mention the home that I live in and we're paying. It's the first home that we've owned. We rented for a long time. And up in Anago, the church owned the home that we lived in. But this one, we're paying the note. And it's my responsibility to make sure that the plumbing works and that the roof doesn't leak. I'm putting my sweat and tears into it. And it's my investment. And we have actually considered selling and moving. And it's true what they say about the female of the species becomes a little more attached to the dwelling place. And with trying to find just the right way to say that. We've moved a couple times in pursuit of the Lord's will, to do the Lord's work in different places. But every time we moved, we took everything with us. We still have boxes up in the attic that have the same stuff in them that they had in them when we lived in DeForest the first time about 20 years ago. He sold everything. Everything. Whatever other property he had, he sold it. Whatever treasure, whatever 401k or 403b, whatever pension, whatever he had, he sold everything. That's how much this treasure meant to him. Whatever things of value you have in your life, and when I say things of value, in your own mind, automatically certain things come, there's a picture there. Now what's valuable to you may not be so valuable to me, but there are things of value in your life that you would not want to give up. Now I'm talking more than material things now. Let's talk about relationships. Let's talk about titles or positions. Maybe your job means more to you than anything else. But the example we have here is a material one, but the application is spiritual. He gave up everything to get this piece of property. The Bible says that there is nothing more valuable than the soul of a man. Whatever things of value you have in your life are not as important as your relationship with God. There is nothing more valuable than the kingdom of heaven. Your education, your livelihood, your career, your relationships, nothing is worth more than the parable of the precious pearl. Pearls are valued for their beauty, such little things. I honestly don't get the whole gemstone pearl thing. I don't get it. I just don't. Diamonds, you know. Right over my head. I don't get it. But they are valued by many. And the first question you ask when you see someone with pearls, what do you think? As soon as you see someone who has what looks like pearls, are they real? Exactly right. First question, are they real? There's a lot of fake pearls. Right? And it's... She's wearing a pearl necklace. She has pearl earrings. She has a pearl on her ring. Is it real? Is the first question that comes to mind. Not how valuable is it, but is it real? This man was seeking pearls. He knew what was real and what wasn't. He was looking for the real thing and he found it. It was of great value. It was the first question you ask is it real? But he wasn't dealing with a counterfeit. There's a lot of truths, so-called, in the world today. There's a lot of lifestyles. There's a lot of paths to happiness and peace. A lot of pearls of wisdom floating around out there. But the first question you have to ask when someone presents you with an ideology or a philosophy or an idea or a way to live is it real? Is it true? Pearls are known by their texture and by their iridescence. Their texture is called nacreous. It has to do with the... Imagine that. Pearls are made of mother of pearl. But that material is, that mother of pearl, it has a certain feeling to it. And they're strong and they're resilient. So if you ever see a pearl that's shiny and it's got a little chip in it, don't even ask. It's not real. They withstand pressure. Jesus said that we need to build our house on a rock because it stands. It will stand in the wind and the rain. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Praise God. I want to have something that's real. I want to have something that's pure. I want to have something that's true. I want to have something that will last when the storms come, when the wind blows, when the rain falls. The kingdom of heaven will stand forever. They're iridescent. Pearls project and reflect light in a special way. There's a depth to a pearl as the light strikes it, and it reacts with it. It comes off of it in a way that's unique to this surface. The nacre appears iridescent because of the thickness of the aragonite. No idea what that means, but that's what the book said. The thickness is close to the wavelength of visible light. Now, I understand that a little bit. Light, of course, travels in waves, and the wavelength of the light hits a pearl in such a way, the result is a constructive and destructive interference of different wavelengths of light, resulting in different colors of light being reflected at different and various angles. That's what's different about a pearl. There's depth to it. There's a different kind of light. There's a richness to the light that's reflected from a pearl. Praise God. This precious kingdom experience that we have is more precious, more valuable than anything in the world that we know. And there's a depth to the kingdom of God that doesn't immediately appear to the eye of the beholder. But as you look into the light, as you see the word of God reflected from the lifestyle, from the instruction and the direction, and even the correction of the word of God, there's a richness that comes from the life that's lived in the kingdom. Hallelujah. There's a depth to this truth. There's a depth to this word that no other book can give to you. There's meaning here. There's purpose. Every question you have about life has its answer contained in here. And it may not be immediately available to the naked eye, but if you look, you will find it. The light of the pearl seems ever changing, but it is always the same. And whatever your circumstances, no matter how life changes, this word will never change. Praise God. Treasure hunters have some sayings. I remember hearing this on a radio program. They were interviewing some treasure hunters, and it was a series of programs, and they were talking to people who use the metal detectors, you know, walking on beaches or playgrounds or whatever, all the way up to divers who go into the deep sea. But there's some, the treasure hunters, that so-called treasure hunters with the metal detectors. And before I get too far into this, anybody here use a metal detector on a regular basis? All right. Anybody want to sell a metal detector? Just curious. Now I know that no one will be offended if I... They have a couple sayings. They have many sayings, I'm sure, but there are two that I remember from this program. First is, never consider an area hunted over. These treasure hunters, oftentimes they go to the same place because they have the same idea about, you know, where people are going to be, where people, you know, lose money, where people forget things, where things are dropped. So they, you know, the same beaches are combed over again and again and again, and the same parks, the same public areas, the same places. They're always looking for new places, but it evidently, frequently, they end up in the same place. And it's not unusual for a guy to show up with his metal detector to run across one or two other people in the same area at the same time, if the day is right. But the man that I heard interviewed said, that doesn't stop me at all, because I never consider an area worked over. Just because 100 people have been there doesn't mean that they have found everything. And I may find something there that everyone else has missed. We had, Voces Unidas had service last night, and I took our outline from 201 and began teaching on basic doctrines, New Testament apostolic doctrines. And as I was teaching, I get excited when I teach that stuff. When I talk about the apostolic doctrine, the apostles taught what Jesus taught them, I thought, I really had in my mind before the service began that I was going to do one of these lean on the pulpit and teach kind of things, but I was hopping all over the place. I love the apostolic doctrine. I love teaching the apostolic doctrine. What's more, Brother and Sister Russell were in the audience, and they were more excited than I was. This stuff never gets old. It's never worked over. I'm never going to get tired of digging up truths out of the Word of God. It's never going to be old finding out that Jesus' name baptism washes my sins away, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost will change your life. It's never worked over. Amen. He bought the whole field. He found treasure. And evidently, from what I read, by the law of the time, by Jewish law, he actually, and I've heard it taught other ways, but what I read today said that just by the fact that he found it, he was there legally, evidently, this workman, he found this treasure in the field, finders keepers. That was the rule. So he had the right to take that treasure, evidently. But that was, he bought the field. Praise God. Somebody said it this weekend. I think Pastor Grant said something like this. He said, you know, you may think I'm trying to scare you into the kingdom. And was it you, Brother Thomas, or was it Brother Grant? Somebody said it this week, and he said, well, if that's what it takes, great. I want to scare you into the kingdom. Hey, some of us are here because we were addicted, and God set us free. Some of us are here because we were on some kind of philosophical quest, and we were looking for truth, and we found it. Some of us are here because our marriages were breaking up and we didn't know where else to turn, and the Word of God and the man of God came to us and helped us find light and truth. Some of us are here because we were sick and afraid that we were going to die, and someone came by and prayed for us and God healed us. But I'm not just coming back because God set me free from alcohol or marijuana or cigarettes or whatever. I'm coming back because I want the whole field. I want everything God has to offer. I don't want to just be set free from drugs. I want to have truth. I want to have understanding. I want to have meaning. I want to have purpose in my life. I want the whole field. I want the kingdom of God in my life. Hallelujah. God healed you. Praise God. He's got more for you. Another saying that these treasure hunters have is, look in the hole again. Meaning, I carry my little machine, and I'm walking around, it's going, beep, 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 beep. Get out my little forky thingy, and I start digging around. What do I come up with? An old can opener. Throw it in my little bag, and I go on my way, right? Beep, 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 beep. I just dug in there. There's more in the hole. There's more in the hole. So you keep digging, keep digging, and keep digging, and keep going over it until you know that you've got everything that you can get out of that hole. Anybody here know everything there is to know about the oneness of God? Brother Thomas, you're a man of faith. You know everything there is to know about prayer. How many books do you think you've read on prayer? 50? Anybody got more than 50 books on prayer under their belt? But he doesn't think he knows everything yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't get it. When someone says, I'm not being fed anymore. Pastor, I'm just not being fed. Well, get yourself a plate. Get some silverware. Walk over to the cupboard, open it up, and fix yourself some food. Because there's bread forever in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just keep digging. Keep digging. Or I don't know what to do about my problem. I looked in the Bible and I just can't find the answer. Beep. 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 Get back over there. Beep, 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 beep. Just dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Spend a little more time on your knees. Get into the Word of God. Find out what it really says. Praise God. Do Pastor Grant's four-step process. Four or five. Four-step process. Do a Bible study. Memorize Scripture. Apply them to your life. Keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. Look in the hole again. Look in the hole again. The Bible never really gets old. If you're hungry for God, if you're sold out to God, if you've given everything you've got, if you've sold everything you've got and purchased this pearl of great price, you're never going to get tired of digging in the Word of God. It's when you haven't sold out, when you haven't recognized the value of what you have, that those things no longer have value to you. It's not important anymore to look into the Word because it's easier to get your answer from Aunt May or Uncle Teddy. Hallelujah. Look in the hole again. The Bible never gets old. You'll never attain perfection. You'll never know everything there is to know. Amen. Lastly, the thing I found interesting about these two parables is they both have to do with finding treasure. We can stand. I was 21 years old. A lot of you know the situation I was in, but I wasn't living for God. I'd grown up in church, wasn't a Pentecostal church, wasn't a Bible church, but I knew who Jesus was, thought I knew who God was, didn't know much about the Bible. I knew a lot about the world and the lifestyle of the world. But I was hungry for truth. I was curious. I remember taking a comparative literature course at the university, and they had this book in that course, and it had to do with space travel. But the author was C.S. Lewis. And in this story that C.S. Lewis wrote on another planet, there were a man and a woman who were the first two beings on the planet. And they were trying to start a civilization, and everything was fine for a little while, and they were tempted by beings from another planet to do things that they shouldn't do. And my teacher, my professor in this class at the University of Wisconsin, used this phrase that was, for some reason, unfamiliar to me. This phrase was the fall of man. And I said, the what? And I began to look into it. And as I got more and more curious, right about that time, I was involved in a relationship with someone who had grown up in a Pentecostal church. And right about that time, her parents came along and invited me to a Pentecostal church. Praise God. Isn't that amazing how God works? He plants all these little seeds. So I was just going about my business, if you will, but I started getting hungry. I started asking questions. I had actually tried a couple of different religious ideas. You know, meditation and some pretty goofy things, actually, but we won't get into that. And then I heard about real Christianity compared to the Christianity I'd grown up with. So I thought, okay, fine, I'll try it. I'll take a Bible study. But I was looking for something, and I knew I was looking for something. I actually, my friend of mine and I went out to California and hitchhiked down the California coast. And in my mind, I was. Remember when everybody was out trying to find themselves? Come on, some of you went to find yourself. Come on now, raise your hand. Well, I looked all over out west, and I wasn't there, so I came back. And it wasn't long after that God got a hold of me. See, I was looking for something, and I found a pearl of great price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man of God came and taught me a home Bible study, and I was sitting at the table going over my search for truth outline with a Bible open that Pastor Jack Yount Sr. had given to me. And I'm at the table reading the Bible, and suddenly I feel something in the room. And I stopped. Seriously, I stopped and I looked around and thought, what's going on here? This is weird. And I kept reading, and it I knew at that moment that this thing was real. Because God spoke to me, sitting all by myself, reading my Bible, studying for search for truth, and I said,
This is real. This is a pearl. There's light reflecting from here, and it's pretty rich, and I can't even understand it all. So I came upon it while I was searching. I was looking for something. But some of you, you grew up in this thing. Some of you have known this thing from the day you were born. You just go about your business and it was always there. You went to school and you came home and there it was. But somewhere along the line, you've got to find the treasure. There's a treasure here. And if you're walking with God, you've been born again and you've been coming to church and you don't feel like there's much going on in your relationship with Him, I'm telling you, you need to dig a little deeper. You need to go over the ground again. You need to get out your metal detector and try and find it. Because it's a pearl and it's of great price. It's invaluable. There's a treasure there if you'll just get down and dig and get it out. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether you've been in this thing for 1 year or 100 years. You still have to sell everything you have. You have to sell everything you have. Buy the truth and sell it not. Because what shall it profit a man? What shall it profit a woman? What shall it profit those 30 souls who are filled with the Holy Ghost this weekend at revival services? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to come. Hallelujah. Get out your spiritual metal detector and come right out up here. And there's a spot up here around the altar where your little beeper is going to go crazy. Kneel down right there and dig in. Hallelujah. There's a pearl of great price in the kingdom of heaven. There's a place for you. God has treasures, untold treasures, buried, hidden, waiting for you to dig them up. Praise God. Won't you come? Won't you come? E che ne ha là, orrendo lo mossa, taglia la dorre mahato.
Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor hath it entered into your mind, what I have created for you and for your pleasure. I have given you my blood, I have placed my spirit within you, and I have led you and guided you by my word. I'm asking, search diligently, see that I am He, and He alone, that is able to save you to the utterance. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Please come. Come and seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Let God talk to your heart. Let God touch your life. Let Him renew your experience.